Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Podcast1.com and Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening and subscribing and checking it out around the world. It is greatly appreciated. Hope everybody in the U.S. had a great Thanksgiving last Thursday, and good to be settled in with you guys for another episode of the podcast this week. So we got a great interview for you as always. As I always tell you, the interviews you hear on this show are courtesy of my daily radio show on Sirius XM Radio. You can hear Trunk Nation daily, live 2 to 4 Eastern, Monday through Friday, talking rock on Sirius XM Channel 106 volume, and the show replays every night 10 to midnight Eastern, and it's on demand anytime you want on the Sirius XM app as well, with audio and video content, so plenty of ways to listen, plenty of ways to get caught up on everything going on, and appreciate you guys in the U.S. and Canada who do listen daily to Trunk Nation on volume on Sirius XM satellite radio. Of course, here on the podcast, for those that do not subscribe, or the many that listen outside the U.S. or Canada, where Sirius XM is not available, I should say, you get a little taste of what I'm doing on a daily basis on the radio. And again, I appreciate you checking it out. So here we are already into December, folks. How about it? And the holidays are just around the corner. The end of the year, we're looking, staring straight down the barrel of 2020, a new decade. So crazy when you think about it, but pretty good year for me. Crazy as ever. The busiest year I've ever had. And that continues because I've got another big event coming up. Now, at the time you hear this podcast, I am actually in Switzerland, where I've never been before. And the story on that is pretty interesting because I was invited to a surprise party for Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top that was scheduled to take place today, actually, if you're listening on post day, in Zurich, which was a tremendous honor, and I'm grateful that I was invited to the thing. And the plane tickets were purchased, which was part of the deal to go, and then the event was canceled or postponed or whatever they ended up doing. And Billy ended up finding out about it, I'm told, so that's why I'm telling you it's not, I'm not blowing any potential surprise. But the tickets were there, and what the heck? I figured I might as well go and get to see a part of the world I've never seen. And my kids, especially my son, extremely excited about leaving the country, essentially, with a passport for the first time. So I have that trip just for a couple days as you're hearing this. And then I come back, and I'm not even home for a day, and I turn around and head to Los Angeles yet again. Because coming up 1 week from today, 1 week from this post day, on Thursday, the 12th of December, I'll be doing the next Trunk Nation LA Invasion from the Rainbow in LA. And I'm excited about this because we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do a holiday party. You know, I do these Rainbow broadcasts every month. This time, things are going to be a little different. It's going to be loose. We're going to open the floodgates to all the artists that have ever been on past LA Invasions, maybe some surprise guests, a little bit of a free-for-all, and everyone from the public is invited to come. No ticket needed, no guest list, no nothing. So if you are in Southern California, come on down and join me on December 12th at the legendary Rainbow in West Hollywood. I'll be broadcasting live on SiriusXM from the patio, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Surprise guests, maybe even surprise guests to me that I don't know are coming. And all of my friends, fans, whatever. We're just going to have a great party. I'm going to get somebody in a Santa outfit. I'm thinking Chad from Faster Pussycat. I'm going to try to get my buddy John Five to play some guitar for us going into breaks. I'm going to bring a big box of CDs and hand out some great prizes and just celebrate the end of what has been a fantastic year and a fantastic year of monthly broadcast from the Rainbow in LA. So I hope to see you if you're in Southern California, you're headed that way, December 12th, LA Invasion Holiday Party, live on volume, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Totally free to come down and join the fun and buy me a drink. And I'll buy you one too. Speaking of drinks, let me tell you about what is truly one of my favorite drinks. And I'm not even just saying this. The thing I drink the most is spring water. I love water. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but I drink a ton of water. I enjoy it and I'm constantly chugging water. And I got to tell you about Liquid Death, because even though the name sounds kind of like off-putting, it's actually really great spring water. It's actually from the mountains and rich with natural electrolytes and minerals. Now, here's what's really cool about Liquid Death. It is great tasting water, and it comes in a can, what would look like a can of beer or a can of soda. And one of the things that you got to love about Liquid Death is their mission is to bring bring death to plastic. You see, aluminum cans are way more recyclable. And we see everybody with these huge plastic bottles, and you see them in garbage pails, and only a small percentage of that actually gets recycled. So there's so many issues with plastic. It's not actually even recyclable anymore, and it's going straight to landfills. It's just not a good option. So Liquid Death is a great option because it's tremendous quality water, and it comes in a highly recyclable aluminum can. As a matter of fact, Liquid Death donates 5 cents from every can sold to help clean up plastic pollution and bring clean drinking water to those in need. So you're doing something great for the environment. You're doing something great for yourself because it's great for you to drink water. And Liquid Death is fantastic spring water. So here's what I want you to do. You see, Liquid Death is only available in a handful of stores, so you have to order it online. We got a special deal for you. Go to liquiddeath.com/trunk, T-R-U-N-K. They're offering listeners an exclusive deal to get $2 off every case. That's liquiddeath.com/trunk, liquiddeath.com/trunk. Or better yet, you can click the option to literally sell your soul on their website in exchange for a free case. Yep, you can actually sign a real soul contract that is legally binding for eternity. I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. It's a great product. When I bust it out and my friends come over, hey, you got a water, and I hand them a can of this stuff. They look at it. They think it's incredibly cool. Being in aluminum keeps the water cooler. It's better for the environment. It's great spring water. Liquid Death, again, that email address, liquiddeath.com/trunk, T-R-U-N-K. I mean, if you call yourself a rock fan, a metal fan, how can you not love a product called Liquid Death? Great stuff. I'm telling you, it's really a lot of fun, so check it out. So, anyway, LA Invasion. Also, a quick heads up, December 14th on my schedule, I was supposed to be in Erlanger, Kentucky, outside of Cincinnati for a speaking gig. That gig has now been postponed, folks. It is going to be rescheduled for a new date, likely in February. There were some issues with the venue potentially moving or something changing. When I know more, I'll let you know, but the December 14th gig in Erlanger is postponed, new date coming soon. So outside of LA Invasion at the Rainbow on December 12th, the final appearance event for me in December will be December 20th, and that's my annual That Metal Show Christmas party, which happens at Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey. Myself, Don, and Jim reuniting, some great bands, a lot of fun. So if you happen to be in New Jersey, come see us at Dingbats in Clifton on December 20th, the final appearance for what has been an unbelievable 2019, and I thank you all for your support. As usual, my appearances are on the homepage of eddietrunk.com, and I urge you to follow me on Twitter, especially at eddietrunk, where you get all the info and updates as they happen, and also Instagram at eddietrunk, fan page on Facebook as well, simply at my name. Okay, so interview for you this week coming up is one that took place a couple months ago, actually. And I never posted it till now, but it's still very relevant. Now, you know George Lynch from Dokken, but George is also a man of many, many bands. I mean, this guy is the Mike Portnoy of electric guitar. He's in a million bands, seemingly announcing a new one every few weeks. One of the bands he's been in that's now made a few albums is a group called KXM that is a phenomenal trio featuring Doug Pinnick of King's X and Ray Luzier of the band Korn. To this day, they have yet to play a live show, but they have released three albums, including a relatively new one. It's very, very difficult to get these guys all together in the same place because, like so many of these sort of assembled supergroups, they're all in a million directions, and they are always all going to defer to whatever is the biggest, most lucrative prime gig of the multiple bands they may have, which is understandable. So to that end, KXM has yet to do a live show, but they've released records. And even trying to get them all together for an interview is extremely difficult, because they're all in different places at different times, and Doug Pinnick is in a ton of bands as well. So I tried a couple months ago with the release of the latest KXM record to get all three guys in the studio when I was in L.A., but Ray Luzier these days lives in Tennessee. George and Doug live in L.A. So I was able to get George and Doug, at least two-thirds of the band, together. And it was a fun interview, and we talk about KXM and their individual projects and other stuff as well. So I think you're going to enjoy this, and here's a little backstory on this, which you might find kind of surprising. And I believe it's referenced and comes up in the interview. So George Lynch has a massive phobia of tight spaces, claustrophobia, basically. Now, I don't like tight spaces either, but George has it to the extreme, meaning that this interview was conducted in our brand new studio for SiriusXM in LA. And when George got there, we're only on the eighth floor, but he was freaked out to go in the elevator. He also didn't want to go in the stairwell unless all the stairwell doors were open. He has a serious issue. And I said that to him, I said, I don't know how you deal with that, given that you're a touring musician and going in different venues and having to do interviews and planes and what have you. He finds ways to make it work, but we had to work a little bit to get George into the building. And as you'll hear in the interview, we finally did get him in the studio. And then once he got there, he was totally fine. And then we helped him get out of the building as well. Again, I get it because I don't like confined spaces either, but George has it to the extreme. And as I think he references in the interview, it's seemingly only getting worse. But we managed to get George in there. Doug was there waiting on him, and we had a fun conversation. So this week's podcast, Doug Pinnick of King's X, George Lynch, best known of Dokken, two-thirds of a band they have together called KXM. We discuss that and a whole lot more. Enjoy. It's coming up on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast.
What's up, Brian Deegan here. I'm excited to bring you our podcast, The Deegans, that will be every Wednesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. We'll be covering many subjects such as racing, family, how we stay together, how we thrive as a family. So I think it's exciting. We're going to cover all those subjects and many more.
Be sure you guys check out our new podcast, The Deegans, airing every Wednesday on Podcast One and on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
All righty, Eddie Trunk here on the podcast for the week. As I mentioned, my guests are George Lynch and Doug Pinnick, two-thirds of a band they have together with Ray Luzier called KXM. And I just remembered, I think Ray calls in during the interview towards the back end as well. So I think we do get Ray on the phone. This interview happened about 6-7 weeks ago. Been a little while since I heard it, but it's still very relevant, still very current. And I wanted to get it to you sooner, and I just kind of spaced on it. So without further ado, let's get to the SiriusXM studios in L.A., courtesy of my daily show on volume, Channel 106, Trunk Nation, Ray Luzier, and Doug Pinnick. Enjoy.
Pinnick is here.
I am at George, Fort Knox.
George is just figuring
George
out.
George Lynch is kind of here.
George is just figuring out that he's live on the radio on SiriusXM.
What's radio?
On 106. And yes, he said to me, can people hear this in their car right now?
No, can I hear it in my car?
Well, you could hear the replay.
I got to pay for Sirius.
Well, do you have Sirius XM radio?
Do you got a coupon?
Alex, you got a code for George?
Come on.
Can you hook him up?
I need one too.
Doug?
See, now you're not laughing at me so bad.
All right, we'll see what we can do here. But yes, if you have Sirius XM, you could not only hear it live right now, but you could hear the replay tonight. Or you could listen to it on an app. There's a bunch of ways you could listen to it.
I was kidding. I know that.
Yeah. Duh. So anyway, good to see. We have a two-thirds KXM reunion going on.
Woohoo!
But before we get to talking about that, because we have a lot of time here, we're going to be good. We got
awesome.
Over an hour.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to get calls. We're going to talk to people. But George, we were just talking off the air. So you were not comfortable coming into this building because you don't like tight spaces and elevators and things like that, right?
Well, there's one particular tight space I'm okay with. But other than that, yes. No, I have. And it's gotten increasingly worse over the years as I've gotten older. So now I have to, my travel agent has to really work with me and in the way that I travel. And I feel very bad about that. I mean, even coming here today, it was like getting into Fort Knox. You know, I had a security team walk me up.
Because you wouldn't come into the elevator.
I can't go on an elevator.
What
no.
about the stairwell, though? You won't walk the stairwell too confined?
Depends. If it's a high security stairwell, I have to be careful. I have to have all the doors propped open and so forth.
When did this first happen? Like, was there something that triggered this, that started it?
I got stuck in a couple elevators, and I got stuck in a couple stairwells, and that aggravated it. So, yeah.
How long ago? Like back in the Dokken days?
Decades ago, but decades. It's gotten just slowly, incrementally worse over the years. So
now you're a touring musician. What do you do
right.
about flying?
It's very challenging. I'm going to a hypnotist about it, and flying, I have to be very close to the door, and I have to be where the bulkhead is, or first class, or business class, and I pay for that, and that's a cost of touring for me, and if I can't do that, I'll drive, and I've gotten off planes and drove 10 hours. And I was happy to do it and stay on the ground because it was just a stress reliever, and I was just very happy to do it.
Because I'm just thinking,
it freaks me out.
With Dokken, when you guys did those reunion shows a few years ago, those were in Japan. So that's a hell of
a first-class ticket,
right.
And thank God for alcohol.
Yeah.
And other things.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So, all right. Well, I mean, I just know.
I didn't even air all my frickin' dirty laundry.
No, it's not dirty laundry. There's other people that deal with that, I'm sure. But you,
it's debilitating.
It's particularly challenging because you're a touring musician.
And there are worse things, though.
Right. Of course,
you know,
there are.
I mean, I could work around this.
Yeah. You found a workaround today to get here.
Yeah.
You find a way to make it work.
Otherwise, I'd be doing this from my car on the phone, and that would have sucked.
That would have been weird. Eight floors. Yeah. George Lynch from eight floors. Well, you could have heard it in your car, George.
I could have just yelled up through the window from the parking structure. You really could have heard me.
Doug, did you know this?
Yeah. I found out about a month ago.
Because you guys have not toured together.
No.
Because unfortunately, KXM has not played live yet.
True.
Which is something we'll get into in a second. But you, when you do, you're going to have to make sure you take care of our boy here, George.
Well, the first time we learned it when we did, what video was that? Breakout? Mm-hmm. We were in that elevator and it was going up and down.
Which is what the song was about.
Yes. And it took us about an hour to get him in that elevator to do that. And we did it twice and got him out.
And then it
real
got
quick.
Stuck.
It did get stuck. How did you feel?
Oh, dude.
Oh,
I had to talk myself. I had to close my eyes. That's the first thing you do is close your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And you go to your happy place and just had to. And they got it going right away.
Yeah.
And it was an open freight elevator, an old antique freight elevator. So I could see out. So that helped. In other words, if I go to Vegas, you know, a glass elevator where I can see the atrium and I can see everybody. That makes it a lot better.
See, I don't like that because I don't like the height. I don't like to see.
I'm fine with height.
I don't like heights. So wow. I don't like that at all. Doug, have you ever had any phobias like that or
I
any
have
phobias?
Water and snakes.
Water?
And snakes.
Can you swim?
No.
So you never learned to swim.
No, I almost drowned when I was a kid, and my friends took me out in the water and dumped me, let me go, and I almost drowned. My cousin came and got me, and from that point on, I had a fear of the depths. It's like water to me is, I don't know how deep it is where the bottom is, so that's the fear. And snakes, I'm dyslexic, so when a snake moves, I can't tell which way it's going. And as a kid, I never understood that. So every time I saw a snake, I thought it was going running after me, and I was afraid of it. And I would always run. But one day, I was standing on the street and watched a snake cross the street, and I swear to God, it was going left. But every time I kept looking at it, it was going that way. But in my mind, it was going the opposite way, and it freaked
me
out. And that's when I realized that.
Like George said, everybody's got their thing, man. Yeah. Did you ever have a desire to learn how to swim? Just for safety purposes?
Oh, I would love to. In fact,
you don't think you can get past it?
No, I can, because it's a matter of trust and not knowing that I can float. I know that if I'm one time I was in the ocean and I was on put my hand on my friend's shoulder and I was fine. As long as I know there's something steady, I can get in the water.
You can see the bottom.
Right. Not see the bottom as much as just know I'm going to float. That makes more sense.
George, get up on the mic when you talk. Because you put your headphones on so you can hear your mic level.
If you go to a pool and you can see your feet, are you okay?
Yeah, but when I see the 6-inch or the 6 feet deep or the 8 feet deep part, my balls crawl up. Literally,
all
I look
three
down
of them.
And everything just and I can't deal with it. So I look down. I can get in water, but just not look down if I knew I was going to float.
Okay.
I mean, I've been on boats.
I think this would all the things we're talking about should be our next video.
Okay.
And call the song Claustrophobia.
Or Phobia.
You
or
got
just
it.
Phobia.
You got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just,
what, are you in the writing process now?
No.
We have to give him credit.
But you got to transpose the snakes, okay? Because I'm not going to be in a room with a snake.
You have to do, well, how are CGI. We going to do that if you don't do it?
CGI.
I'll do it.
No.
We'll have some
real
therapy
snakes.
On it. Maybe, okay. It might help me to get over it.
I doubt that. But
I'll tell you.
I'm not getting in an elevator in the video either. Right.
If I found a snake in my house, I would move.
Phobia does Ray have?
Yeah, you got to find Ray Lazier's
phobia.
Yeah,
we got to find out.
I think he's allergic to guitar players. No, I'm just kidding.
Ray's in Nashville now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we should. I was
Isn't everybody?
It seems that way.
Not everybody.
We should put him on, see if we can text him and see if he wants to call in for a segment and have him on the phone.
I'll do that.
It'd be good to include Ray in this conversation.
You got your glasses.
Since we're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff beyond, of course, but KXM is what you guys are here to talk about. The new album, Circle of Dolls, is out. Third album, right?
Yes.
Third album already.
Can you believe that? That's just
time
insane
flies.
To me.
Got a song about it.
Tell me about doing this one as opposed to the last two. Anything you did. I love the record. I was listening to it this morning, actually, for the first time. And I was telling George, I like the first record a little better than the second record.
Mm-hmm.
And then this record I like maybe better than any of them.
Cool.
It's
what?
Really...
That's a good way to look at it.
You're just not saying that because we're here.
No, but I have to. I'm going to live with it a little bit more, and I'll make my final ranking. But tell me about going into the third one, because to me, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but one of the things I love about what you guys do with KXM, it feels very live. It feels like three guys walking into a room, and then just kind of coming up with something and just going with it, and just very organic and spontaneous. Is that just the way it sounds to me, or is that the way it's created?
It's pretty much created that way.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, do you guys go in with loose ideas, or you come up with them as you're jamming? What's the process?
Not allowed. That's the law in the
band. Ray is the songwriting police. He's the compositional security, and he does not allow that, and he can detect it. He has a bullshit detector or somewhere, and like when we're jamming, and sometimes I'll be in the parking lot in the studio that morning or be driving in, and I'll have some kind of little thing that's in my head or on my phone memo or something that I've been dicking around with. And I'll walk in, I'll go, hey, you know, I'll start playing it. He'll immediately like, no, you already had that idea, right?
Yep. We do that all the time.
He calls it out.
Everything's got to be fresh.
And he changes the beat. He makes it impossible to play that. And he changes the beat. And then a lot of times the songwriting starts with Ray.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've never been in a band with a guy like the drummer starts the song.
He'll sit on his drums and he'll be testing them and he'll just play some kind of riff. And I go, stop. Play that again.
Polyrhythmic
and,
tribal
shit. Yeah, and I'll find a bass line in it. And then George looks up and goes, wow, that's cool. And we'll jam on it for a few minutes. Then we'll have Chris record it. We'll record the riff a few times until we own it. You know, we just keep going and going. Yeah. And then we'll record it. And then say, oh, that's a part. Let's do another one. And we'll make up another
thing. It's all parts. We just stream parts together.
See, that's exactly what it feels like to me. In a good way, though, it feels like it's just kind of flowing as it's happening.
Here's the thing, though, when we're talking about Ray, this is what Ray does. After we make up five or six parts, or three or four, however many we decide to make up, me and George walk away, and Ray pops into goes into the studio, and he cuts and pastes until he makes it a song, and it makes really cool sense. He'll come in and say, "Hey guys, check this out. Can this be a song? Can you sing a chorus to this?" And I go, you know, yes. We always say yeah, because we're always up for the challenge, no matter what it is, pretty much. And then Ray goes back in and plays the whole song straight through, owning it.
And that's our bed.
That's our bed.
So any preconceived ideas are not welcome. You can't go in. George, if you have a riff that came to you the night before and you want to bring that in and say, hey, guys, I got an idea. Let me show you. That's forbidden.
Unless I disguise it really well or slip it in later, but it never happens. Because you know what? There's no lack of ideas.
Right.
I mean, the thing is, it's really interesting that all three of us all contribute like 33 1/3%. It's crazy. You know, Dougie's just like, and a lot of those riffs are Dougie just coming up on with him on the bass, which I'm not used to because you have the guitar in your hands. You're pretty much, you're writing most of the riffs in most bands, you know,
right?
Just by nature, by default, but not the case. And it's like I said, we described how Ray comes up with stuff and Dougie does too. He'll be doing these freaking riffs on his bass, which are like sound cool. And I'm like, okay. And I try to copy that, you know? So I'm just a third contributor, you know, which is very strange.
He's the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Ray's the foundation. I'm the groove. And then you just put the icing on top of it and makes it a cake. And then we find words.
What is the name KXM? Where did it come from?
King's X, Lynch Mob, and Korn. KXM.
King's X.
Lynch Mob,
it's
M.
It's a weird name because like a lot of my friends will call it, they still, after however many years we've been together, like 6 years, they still call it KMX.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a tough name to get right.
You know? So
never
King's, King's X is the KX.
Uh-huh. No, just K.
Is the K.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Korn? Korn is...
No,
X is King's X.
You don't even know your own letter, dude.
Yeah, I don't. I really don't.
K is
Korn. For Korn.
But why is M for Lynch Mob? Why wouldn't it be L for George?
Because KLX
KXL?
Actually, KLX is cool.
Yeah,
it
didn't sound right.
KXL.
Let's change it.
Well, not anymore.
That's great.
George. KLX. That's George. He always wants to change things after it's done.
By the way, this wouldn't be the first time I sat with George during an interview and tried to change a band name. Remember, was it TNN or
Dude, I'm the worst.
George, how many bands have you been in? You got me beat.
It's not a contest.
I was just going to say both.
What do I win?
Nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. This cup of tea, green tea.
Maybe a few bucks if somebody buys
it. Not even organic green tea. No stevia. Hello.
Oh, my gosh.
Freaking serious.
We got elevators here that are killing them. We got no stevia.
No organic.
Tea's not
tea.
Organic. The place is just falling apart, George.
Charge me for parking. I'm not getting paid for it.
No, but
I am getting a coupon, so that's cool.
You're not getting paid. You're not charging for parking. I don't know anything about coupons.
50% off?
I'll look into it. you get 10 cents off the food.
Dude, we're old. We need our coupons. I got my ARP card.
I won't do it, dude. I won't sign up for it.
I'm going to tell you the most exciting thing that happened to me so far this year.
What?
And Dougie's going to relate to this big time. I hate to put you on the spot.
Okay.
We were just at his birthday party.
I got to break in 30 seconds. Okay. So you want to hold it? Hold it. This will be a great tease. This is what we do in radio.
I don't know if I should talk about it. We'll talk about it over the break.
He's going to reveal something embarrassing.
We'll discuss over the break.
What's up, Brian Deegan here. I'm excited to bring you our podcast, The Deegans, that will be every Wednesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. We'll be covering many subjects such as racing, family, how we stay together, how we thrive as a family. So I think it's exciting. We're going to cover all those subjects and many more.
Be sure you guys check out our new podcast, The Deegans, airing every Wednesday on Podcast One and on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
George, what did you want to say before the break? You had a big reveal about Doug, did you not?
No, it's very exciting. Well, it's something that Doug can relate to, because, you know, neither one of us are spring chickens, whatever. Although we're, like, in good shape and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we still play good and all that crap. But anyways, I got my Medicare card last week. Uh-huh. And I don't know if that's something you want to talk about on the radio, but for me, at this point in my life, I'm, like, really, really excited. I thought I was going to be bummed when it happened, and I'm like, I'm officially like a golden age.
So what do you got to be to get that? 65?
65. Yeah, I'm going to be 65 next week.
You getting Social Security yet?
I can take it, but I'm not going to take it on my weight.
Your health coverage basically is golden the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Now you're
I'm really excited about getting sick. I want to get sick.
No, it's funny. I got a colonoscopy yesterday.
Do you have any pictures?
No.
Come on.
But doctor says I'm fine, but it's so fun. He says, can I see your card? And I give the card and go, how much I owe? Nothing. You walk out the door.
How old are you?
69.
Son of a...
I'm going to be 65.
Bitch.
So hey, Ray's the baby of the band. He's like 52.
Yeah.
He's so cute. We like squeeze his cheeks and stuff.
Make fun of
him. Hold on a second. And I am not just saying this because you guys are sitting here. The two of you guys, for your age, I have always known that.
Have you seen this guy with his shirt off?
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah.
You know how freaking shitty he makes me feel?
He's ridiculously thin.
And I work out.
How do you do that, by the way? You've always been thin, right?
Yeah.
Even as you got older.
That's not thin. Yeah. That's not thin. That's a rip.
I have many relatives my age and older that didn't gain weight either. It just runs in my family. But because of it, I work out. I do 25 sit-ups, push-ups, and pull-ups, and curls every day. Just 25. Been doing it for 40 years. Every day I get up, I'll go and I'll do my pull-ups, about 25 of them, and push-ups. And every day I do that.
But you always looked. I mean, because I knew Doug when King's X was signed to Megaforce. I worked there.
1988.
I met Doug back then, and we were shocked at that point to learn how old Doug was because how great he looked then.
Thanks.
Which is crazy.
And well, we're George, late bloomers.
We
I
know
was 38 George, when our first record came out.
That's crazy.
A baby.
And we know George went through his Lynch Biscuit phase when he was all bulked up. With you, George was a... You ever see George back then?
Yes, all he thought about was going to the gym and pumping up. He didn't even care about playing.
Steroids. Hello? And you messed up your playing too, right? When you were
it
that...
It did,
that,
it did. That and then finally I had a wake-up moment and I was like, wait a minute, am I put on earth here to displace more space, or am I here to like play create music? And you know, I couldn't play because my arm would get sores, you know, like I just get stiff in the middle of my performance when I was playing live, Mr. Scary or something. My arm would just freeze up.
What made you get what inspired you to do that? You just mentioned roids. That you
well
got into roids.
I was going through some personal stuff, my marriages and things like that, you know. So I've been married 4 times,
but
so
you'd manifested
it was a
it
way that
out?
I was able to deal with whatever I was going through at the time by just kind of reinventing myself.
Drugs
from
and
the,
sex and rock and roll
from the outside in, you know, and it worked for me. And you know what? I don't regret it, even though it led to a lot of problems for me. I don't regret doing it because it really got me through it alive. You know, got me through some really rough periods in my life where I was pretty much didn't know where to go.
You're older,
and I wasn't finding Jesus. And I wasn't, you know, it was other things that weren't happening for me. So I was just like, I was kind of in a low spot career-wise. And so I was going through a divorce, and it helped me feel better about myself and give me the energy and the positive, optimistical outlook, hopeful outlook that I needed to keep pushing forward every day.
So when you did somebody turn you on to roids?
Yeah, my best friend got me hooked.
Hooked, huh?
And it's like any other drug, because your greatest fear is shrinking. Wow. And taking up less space. If somebody says, hey, man, you lose some weight, you would, like, lose your mind.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a real, it's like reverse dysmorphia. It's like reverse, I guess it's anorexia, I guess, would be the opposite.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
How did you do them? Was it injections or pills, or what do you do?
Both.
Everything. Jeez. Wow. It's crazy.
Well, people say I got AIDS and I'm anorexic and all kinds of stuff, but I just laugh at them.
Yeah, well, you were always thin. Natural. I mean, yeah. But you say, but you guys, you still exercise.
You can be naturally thin, right. But you can't be naturally the Hulk.
Right.
That does not happen.
I've weighed 135 since I was 17. I never gained.
Your body has a certain way it wants to be. It's called homeostasis. It has a set point where it's comfortable and balanced, and that's the way nature wants you to live and exist.
Now, what do you do
and
now,
if you
George?
You fool it, you pay the price later.
That's true.
George, you're in great shape now still. Do you work out?
Thank you. Well, I don't have abs like this guy.
No, but
you know, my wife actually, you know, we went to his birthday party and he was pretty much, you know, shirtless and half naked at the birthday party. And it's making me feel really bad about myself. And my wife's like, dude, honey, I love you, but why can't you look more like Doug?
Goes, I love you, Danica.
I'm going to get to
listening.
See your abs at some point. Or I know they're under there.
At 65 years old, God bless you that you're still looking for abs, man. That's amazing. Right. That is amazing. All right, so let's circle back to the band here, KXM. Will there be a live show? Three albums now. Will there be a live show? We know that Ray is the problem. We're always going to blame Ray because he's not here. He's in that band Korn. But will there be live shows? This band screams to be heard live, in my opinion.
Right.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an 80% chance it's going to happen in December.
Yep.
You've carved out some time.
Yes. We're just trying to work out the logistics and promoters and money.
Yeah.
And see if anybody wants to come see us.
You know, most bands, when they do their first live show, it's like, well, we only have one record of original material, so we're going to have to fill it out with some covers. You guys will have three albums to pull
but
a set.
But you know what we're
from.
Not going to do? We're not going to play songs from our respective other bands.
You've already
so there's
going to
be a pure KXM.
You don't want to do that. It's so sacrilegious.
It's so cheesy.
And you
it
don't need
cheesy.
To. But
it
you
is.
Don't need to because you've got... Mm-hmm. You've got three albums of material.
Right.
Well,
we've
got almost 40 songs to pick from.
Right. Plus a guitar solo and drum solo, which has to be because you guys are the one.
Yeah,
right.
One of those things won't put you to sleep. Right. You know, people need a reason to go to the
band with two guys who are known for that, you know, so they got to do their solos.
Does that mean no bass solo?
No bass solo.
Dude,
are you kidding?
Well, I suggest we do one song where we all change instruments.
Can you do that? Does everybody know how to play drums?
I can't. Can you play drums at all? You can play drums.
I can hold a beat for maybe a minute and a half.
You're the drummer. We play short songs.
You can play bass.
I'll play bass. I can even sing badly.
Okay, I'll let
you
sing.
Very badly, but I don't know if you want to call it singing.
George, you were the lead singer in your band here in L.A. early on. Is that true? I read that recently.
In Northern California, I had a band called Gladiator, Zoltar Galactic, Gladiator of the Blue Skies. And we were kind of a... We would dress in costumes that our mom made us out of, you know, material and stuff, and then we had lightning bolts and things like that, and then we would blow up everything. We had tons of flash pots. We had flash troughs, actually, which were rain gutters full of gunpowder, and our friends would set them off, and we'd sometimes blow ourselves up. In fact, we blew up our whole band room, set on fire, and burned all our equipment down, which is why we broke up. But anyways.
The band's called Zoltar Galactic.
Zoltar Galactic, Gladiator of the Blue Skies, and I was the lead singer, and I had no business being a lead singer.
Are you making this up?
No.
You can't make that up.
We had no songs less than 15 minutes long.
Wow.
You think KXM is bad.
Oh, so you're proggy. You guys are
super prog.
Whoa.
Our songs were journeys that always ended up somewhere else before it started.
Was this your very first band?
No. My first band was Tungus Grump. We're just a stoner band. Blues and rock.
Tungus Grump.
Great name.
Tungus Grump.
He really sold out on KXM. That's too easy.
Oh, this is commercial crap.
He was the last one that let that happen. He had all kinds of different names, but I don't know. I just like the... I got my way, kind of. You know, I was pretty forceful about just the letters.
What was your first name, your first band's name?
Stoneflower.
Stoneflower.
That's a pretty good name. That's a
yeah, nice name. Sly and the Family Stone is my favorite band, and his production company was Stoneflower.
It's a lot better than KXM.
And King's X was Sneak Preview before King's X?
The Edge Sneak Preview, then King's X.
The Edge Sneak Preview and King's X.
The Edge, we love The Edge, but we found later that a bunch of bands had that name, so we changed it to Sneak
Preview.
The thing
is, if you call it The Edge, you'll get a lot of people come to your shows because they'll think it's a guitar player from U2.
That was 1980 when I named King's X, and we didn't know anything about The Edge at the time.
Before U2?
Yep. Well, U2 came out exactly almost the same time, except when I heard them, we were already called The Edge. And I said, wow, a guitar player is called The Edge. That's weird.
So let me ask the obvious question for the audience. How did KXM come together? How does George Lynch, Doug Pinnick, Ray Luzier all connect? Where is the connection? Mutual fans of each other's work, I'm sure. But where is the genesis of the idea of doing a band and a trio come from? Whose idea is it? Where does it germinate?
I think it was Ray's. I mean, we all wanted to, but Ray's a guy that we went to Ray's house for a birthday party for his son. He's 1 year old. And I'd never really hung out with George or Ray, really. I've known him for a long, long time and stuff, but I never really went to a party and just kind of hung out. And Ray had a small studio that he just built in his house when he lived here. And he says, hey, man, I got a studio. We ought to jam sometime. And I remember the next thing I remember, we made a record in 12 days, a few months later. I don't know how it happened, but George calls up and says, hey, dudes, I got a studio, got it built. I mean, we got to go do this now. And it's like, that's the way George is. He gets real excited and goes, it's got to be done. And we look around and go, well, let's go make a record.
I get kind of pushy when I want to do
he's
something.
He's very pushy.
I'm kind of very, right, I know. It's
but
a,
we
I,
understand.
To a fault. You know, I alienate a lot of people.
The only reason it's not a fault in our band is because me and Ray made a pact and said we weren't going to let him overpower us.
Well, you succeeded.
We reel you in. We
is
love
that
you.
Is that the key, Doug?
I think so.
Dealing with George Lynch
and,
just to make a pact.
And George has an unbelievably cool personality, which can be misunderstood. And as long as you're secure with yourself, you're fine. But George, sometimes he'll say things, and you don't know if he's serious or not, or if he's joking, or he's making fun.
I'm always joking.
I know. I think. Well, I've learned. But you have to just go blind sometimes. And go. He's not fucking with me. He's just having fun, you know. And so I can see why other people might hate you.
I'm working on it. I'm sorry.
No, don't work on it. Be yourself, man. That's what I believe is be yourself.
Yeah, I don't like alienating people and pissing people off.
Yeah, but if you're not hurting anyone, if you piss people off, and I don't think so. I think you've hurt their ego, or you make them, you know, they have their problems. You know, we can't go around and be somebody else for people just because their feelings are going to get hurt. I'm tired of this whole thing. Oh, you hurt my feelings.
Oh,
I can't stand it. Get out of here.
Oh, stop it. I'm offended at how easily you're offended is what I
yes.
say. That's my offense.
War of words on
I married a woman that can out. She can put me in my place.
But you know, that's funny you bring that up because everybody knows. I just read a huge interview with you, George, and Don Dokken in the new issue of Rock Candy magazine, a British magazine, where you both did an interview, very extensive interview. I just read it on the plane coming out here, and yeah, I should have brought it so you could see it. But they get it. A lot of it is about the perceived or the dysfunction in Dokken over the years and the push-pull and all that. You know, to me, I've known you for a long time and I've known Don for a long time. And I honestly would tell people, at least privately, even if not on the air, I'd say, oh, yeah, that George, you know, he is a dick, man. But, you know, I deal with him. But I can honestly say, George, at least, now look, I'm not around you like being in a band, but I can honestly say I've never ever gotten that vibe from you. And in fairness, honestly, I've never had nothing but great experiences with Don either. But even like when you played on that metal show, I remember we had Doug, George in the stands playing a couple times, and it was amazing. And we had guitar players that pulled some ego stuff, and I don't want this here, and that's got to be, you know, you've always been very
easy.
And I don't know. Like, is it something I'm not seeing, or if do you have to be in a band like Tug?
No, here it is. It's assholes will call out other assholes, or they'll make you, they'll think you're being an asshole.
They'll project their assholeness on you.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, you know, I mean, I think of these people that don't like George is because they're the asshole.
Well, you know, no, to be fair, there's another side to our business, which is the business. And when it comes to the business, I'm pretty hard-nosed.
He's shrewd.
Well, I don't know if
you're shrewd.
Well, maybe, I don't know, whatever it is. But it's an important part of the business that I deal with, you know, and it's my livelihood and my family, you know, that's how I support my family, keep my kids in college and, you know, do all the things that I do. And I love that part of the
business. He's not afraid to say how much he feels he's worth and he demands it or else he won't do it. And I think that's a beautiful thing because a lot of times my problem was I just do things for free. And people, what are you doing this for free for when you could, you know, we make a living at what we do, you know, and we do this for fun and we just go home and hang out. But no, we got to get paid.
You asked about Don and then we started talking about this.
Sorry.
So here's the difference between the two things.
Yes.
With us, we all work really hard, equally hard, and we all split everything up equally, period. Everything. Mm-hmm. Okay? And there's nobody's counting any beans. There's no bean counters in this band. We don't care. We'd put that aside 7 years.
Even though I want to get paid twice because I sing and play.
You should. I agree with you.
Ray's the one that doesn't want that to happen.
Yeah, because he's an asshole. But Don, on the other hand, and other people I work with, it's a different relationship because of the business. Not personally. I could sit here with Don and have an interview, and we're fine. You know, it's people just hanging out and even making music and stuff. But it's when it comes to the business that we have some friction, some serious friction.
I've said this so many times, and it's just the truth. If you want to trace back drama or issues or ask questions why things did or did not happen with any band in any scenario, whether it's concerts, records, whatever, if you trace all the lines back, eventually 99% of the time it lands on business and money. Mm-hmm. And I once asked Geddy Lee how it was possible for Rush to exist for over 40 years with the same three guys with what seemed like never a hiccup. And he said, because we never let things get heavy. And from the get-go, it was a third, a third, a third. It didn't matter whether it was merch, publishing, sales. And we never had a problem in our life. And, you know, Doug, you said something.
King's that same way, yeah.
You said something a second ago when
these
we were
all
just talking.
Three pieces, too, you're
what's
talking
that?
About. You're talking about
three
these
trios,
are,
yeah.
So there's only three pieces of the pie, right. Which is nice. That's the bigger pieces.
But Doug referenced this a second ago because when I was talking about KXM live shows and if there was going to be any, you and I registered with me because this is not something most artists would do. Most artists love to project, hey, we're only in this for the fun and to serve the fans. Sure you are, but it's also your business, your livelihood. It's how you make your living. When I asked you about KXM live shows, you said, and of course, money. And if the promoters have money for us, which most people wouldn't say in a context of a radio interview, but it's very revealing and it's true. They may not say it, but that's really what drives it.
You can't play
if you're
going
to go out and play, you need gas, you need vehicles, you need rooms, you need to make it work. You need to come home with something. There's no shame in that.
Why is the music business unique in that sense where the perception is for artists, for them to be pure, they have to be non-committed or interested in any kind of financial gain, which is what makes any organism in the history of the universe operate, because all it is an exchange of energy. Mm-hmm. So it's the barter system with currency. You know, and that's all it is. And it has to be equitable. I mean, that's the ideal, is that it's equitable. In other words, the amount of energy that we're exchanging is, you know, correlates to how much money you're making. So if we go out there and play a show, I mean, we've got mortgages and, you know, we've got mouths to feed just like everybody else. So why is it like that for musicians when for every other business it's not? You know, I mean.
Because we're going out and having fun with our friends.
You're just playing music. You're just playing music, dude. It's easy. It's not like a real job. Explain to me why you're worth
until you quote unquote make it. Then all of a sudden they want to be your best friend and come out and swim in your swimming pool.
I had a friend come out with me on the road once, a very, very good friend who came out with me, and this was in the 90s. He goes, can I go on the road with you for a week? I'm like, hell yeah. It'll be fun. And we had a bus and everything. He lasted 2 days.
Yeah.
He lasted 2 days. He goes, I don't know how you do this.
Yep.
I have people that come to my studios at my home and I've worked with, and they've come and hung out, you know, people I've worked with, and they're just like, and they've spent their days with me, and they're just like, how the fuck do you do this? Do you do this all the time?
We don't sleep. Dude, we wake up and go to bed.
I get up at 6 in the morning. I go to bed at 12 or 1 every single day. I work 7 days a week.
You know, every day, Sundays too. You got to get it done.
Well, yeah. I mean, even what I do, it's kind of 24/7 because you're still on the weekend. Okay, I'm getting ready, setting up for Monday. And the one thing we all share in common, what I do, what you guys do, is at the end of the day, we're independent contractors.
Right.
We work. Our money goes like this, up and down, based on what's going on and what the opportunities are.
You know how to smooth those valleys and
you got to know how to manage money.
You diversify.
Yeah.
You diversify, which means I learned that in the 90s when rock guitar became weird and it was kind of, you were embarrassed to admit that you played solos and shit like that. And so I started building guitars, working on my endorsements and playing for other people and composing for other people. And that leveled the valleys and the peaks out a little bit to where it wasn't so bumpy. So I wouldn't have these, you know, huge dips in my income.
Yeah. Say I do multiple radio shows and a podcast and TV stuff and hosting stuff. People ask, you know, why do you fly all around the country and do these different things? Well, because I do generally enjoy it, and I do generally enjoy connecting and meeting fans and people that appreciate what I do. But I also got 3 mouths to feed waiting at home and 2 kids coming up on college.
Wow.
This is the other thing?
I didn't know that.
What's the
my daughter's
worst thing
a year
playing?
Or so away from college.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Dougie, when we're playing, that's easy, right? We're on stage. You're basically in the zone. You're forgetting about time and space, and you're basically meditating, right?
So it's the only time you're having
a great
time.
You don't have to pay me for that, but you know what I have to pay me for?
The other 22 hours
getting
a day.
There and getting home or getting to the next day.
And also, it seems like the more we play music and more we do this and the more they can see us, seems like people seem to want to borrow money from us. They wanted us to bail them out.
I wanted to talk to you about that, if we could talk afterwards.
All, they all think we're rich. You know,
it's like,
we just got all this money I can give you now. You know what I'm going? I make less than you do. What are you talking about?
I left my cash in my other pants.
I want to get some callers in here in the conversation. KXM is the band. Circle of Dolls is the album. It's out now. It's their third album. It sounds like we're finally going to get live shows from this killer band. But I want to let the audience talk to you guys a little bit. But before I take a couple calls, one last thing from me talking about money. You don't have to tell me the amount or anything, but do you remember, I'm sure you do, how could you forget, each of you, what the biggest, like the big for you, Doug, it may not have happened out of with all due respect.
I've never had one.
But you never got the huge payday,
no,
right?
Never.
You never had a record company come to you with a big fat check with like seven zeros on it or anything
that. Never.
Don't just reach for it. Oh, no.
Are you kidding?
Because the perception of King's X, and I've talked about this, and so have you, but having been there when you were signed, was always that the band was so much bigger than what the reality was in sales and receipts.
Yeah.
But you still probably, did you ever have any moment where it was just like, whether it was for a gig or some rich guy offered you a ton of money
Woodstock.
To play his backyard? Woodstock? Was it
no,
Woodstock?
No, here's the deal.
It was the biggest moment.
Our old manager, Sam Taylor, back in the day, he controlled everything, so we never got any money from him. I mean, money, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars went through, but we didn't get it. We didn't see it. And when he left, it was all over. But the biggest check I ever got was $27,000. I remember it was on the Gretchen record because we got a $300,000 T-shirt deal, and I got $27,000 out of it. And Sam took all the rest.
Well, I was just going to say, you got three guys, 27 times three. Mm-hmm. Is
but let me
80,000? Where'd the other 220 go?
Listen, and Sam wasn't. We were only getting $300 a week, so Jerry was behind on his bills and everything. And Sam kept saying we didn't have any money, and so he would borrow extra money from the band so that. And Sam said, whenever we get a big payoff, he has to pay us back. So when we got to 27, Jerry got no money. Sam didn't give him any because he owed it to him. And it was like, we all thought to ourselves, this is not right. This is, you know, that was getting close to the end of the Sam Taylor
era. I would think.
He took everything.
The Woodstock, when you guys played Woodstock 99, was that a big payday?
I never known because I don't know how much money we made. I don't know where the money went or what
God,
happened.
God, that's tragic, man. And that's why George is the way George is. He's on top of the business. He wants to know.
Nothing wrong with that, dude.
If you have a manager and you go to him and say, how much money we making or how much, what's on the books, and he says, don't you trust me? Get rid of him.
George, for you,
well, and how they're making more money than you are.
Oh, get rid of them if they won't tell you what's going on. When they instruct the CPAs not to tell the people.
You just hit the nail on the head. Uh-huh. That's how managers control the flow of the money, because they hire the business CPAs. Manager, the CPA. And that business manager is beholden to them more than the artist, because that business manager is going to bring them his whole roster.
Yeah.
And their artists are come and go.
We got a new CPA, and he sent us the books against Sam's request, and we were on the road. Sam didn't know it, and we read it. We opened it up, and we saw so much money being thrown away.
God,
I mean, he even offered people money to help their business, saying that we got so much money coming in, you need any extra money for your business and stuff. And the three of us were sitting there making $300 a week.
You know what the best thing a young band can do, or a band that's like starting to do something, is keep the money away from the man. Keep the accountant.
Control it.
You control the accountant, because that's where all the shit happens.
Billy
right
Joel.
There. Follow the money.
George, real quick, the pinnacle for you had to be Dokken. Was it like Monsters of Rock Tour?
Pinnacle for me, advance-wise, was the two first Lynch Mob records, which is 1.3 mil.
Ooh. Doug just fell off his chair.
But I am having
both per record or both?
No,
records?
No, both records.
We never got over 100,000 for the first four records.
But I gotta say,
so leaving Dokken was nice.
I gotta say,
for you,
even with my best years in Dokken and the early Lynch Mob years in the late 80s and early 90s, I am doing better now. I'm having my best year this year in my whole life.
Is it because you're doing so much diverse stuff?
I have my guitar company. I have 7 endorsers. I have 6 or 7 different musical projects. I write music for other people. I play on other people's records. I do private deals. I just on and on. I do gear transactions. I do just all kinds of things.
Jeez, George.
Think of the days.
You have some money, George.
$600,000 a pop for those Lynch Mob records.
Wow. You were just complaining about people now wanting money to borrow money 15 minutes ago, and now you're that guy.
You need swimming lessons.
I told you I left my cash in my other pants.
I have to do.
I need money for parking.
I have to say this about money.
And
though.
He wants a coupon.
Can
for
we cut
serious.
This? Can we? Hey, how do you think I make money by saving money? You make money by saving money.
I gotta say one thing, guys. I gotta give Brian Slagle a shout out for Metal Blade, because when King's X left Atlantic and we joined up with Metal Blade, he signed King's X and he signed me for 2 solo record deals. And those advances for me helped me put money down in a house and a studio. And without
you're doing
those,
good now. You're
without
doing good
those
now.
Two things, I wouldn't have. It lifted me up, and I always thank him for that.
Yeah. Aren't you doing the best now that you've ever done?
The best I've ever done.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We both are. Right? A lot of people are in our job. I noticed that our friends are all kind of, everybody's firing on all cylinders. Right?
Good.
Yeah, it's not a lot. It's just enough to keep going and not worry.
Yeah.
That's all
you need.
And Social Security. When I got Social Security, it was
we're back to that.
Oh.
Telling people how old we are.
Because I'm going.
Dude, that's not
okay,
sexy.
Social Security. Man, then when I get that, that's my rent. So that's everybody's worry.
You remember when we used to lie about our age?
Yeah, no
I
more.
Never did.
Full transparency did here, folks. The new album is called Circle of Dolls from KXM, which also includes Ray Luzier, who we're going to call Ray. Are we going to get Ray on the phone?
Yeah. Yeah, how do we do that? He wants to. He just...
Wait, I'm going to text Ray right now a number for him to call into us. So hold on a second. Producing live on the fly here.
Look at this. We should have our own radio station, dude.
I know. George, you wanted to tell a story, though, about...
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say.
You said something about bus pissing.
Oh, it's disgusting. I don't want to... People might be eating
George
lunch right now or
notes
something.
Notes and everything. I thought we were going to get that story.
Well, then I thought about it. I had second thoughts. I don't want to talk about colostomy bags and, you know, lynch bagging, lynch hot bagging.
Hold on.
I don't want to talk about that. We're texting Ray Luzier furiously here. You give me the number, I'll tell him right now.
Not on the air. I can't give it to you on the air because it's a hotline.
Eddie, put his number in the VX. Yeah. I can read it and dial it from here in New York.
Oh, yeah, we could do that too. Hold on a second. We're producing on the fly, folks.
Yep.
Hold on. He may get the text and call in first, but either whatever happens, Ed.
Either or.
There you go. The number's in there for you to call Ray. Gonna get Ray Luzier on here in a second.
He just landed. He just flew in from England.
Jeez, that guy. Does he ever sleep?
No, man, he doesn't stop.
Brent in Kansas, you're on with George and Doug. What's going on, Brent?
Hey, man. Doug, I've been listening to your music for a long time, or appreciate it, and I have a question that goes back to the early days when you played back with Phil Kagi and we're back in the Midwest.
Wow.
I know that you were invited to be a part of a band that Greg Boltz had, and then that didn't pan out, but there was a rumor going around at one time maybe you filled in with Petra later, and I wanted to see if that was true, and I wanted to see if there were any other recordings that you might have done with Phil Kagi that might not have been Christian per se, but might be other people's albums that you guys played on.
Oh, there's only one record with Phil Kagi. He put a record out called Flipside, and he and I wrote this song called Just a Moment Away. And then I remember I went back to my relative's house in Kansas City, and his wife went to the hospital and had her first baby. So that, I'll never forget that. What was the other question? Petra. What happened was Greg had asked me to join Petra, and Jerry also, and when we moved to Springfield, Missouri, relocated, and when we got there, the band broke up, and then we just kind of luckily got to play with Phil Kagi for like a year, and then after that, Jerry and I stuck together, and King's X happened.
Awesome. Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you,
Brett.
Thanks for the question.
Appreciate it. I would suggest and remind anybody who's a big King's X fan to check out a book that came out recently written by Greg Prado, An Oral History of King's X, and it is I loved it. Did
Me
you
too.
Like the way
Me
it came
too.
Out?
Me too.
I love the way Greg writes his books too, because he lets everybody else tell the story and just does a bunch of interviews. And
that's what I loved about it. I didn't have to tell much of his story; everybody else did, and I love hearing what other people have to say.
Learn.
Was that the guy that wrote The Art of the Deal? Is he a ghostwriter?
The Art of the Deal?
Donald Trump. It's a joke.
I'm trying to be funny.
That's why I looked at you and like,
The Art of the Base Deal.
George has humor.
Jamie in Kentucky. What's going on, Jamie?
How's it going? I've got a few questions for George. I saw you all in Hazard, Kentucky a few years ago. Lance Bob kicked our ass. So good.
Thank you.
Who were your early influences? And also, what do you think your favorite Dawkins song is that you played on?
Well, my earliest influences were jazz musicians and flamenco guitarists that my dad made me listen to and play along to, and that's what I learned initially from. And then I went into blues and R&B, and then the Beatles happened, and then that led to the British Invasion with the Four Horsemen, Hendrix, Clapton, Page, and Beck, and I was on my way.
You grew up here on the Southern California scene playing. You talked about some of your earlier bands
before.
Tell me
about Jimi Hendrix.
You saw Hendrix?
I met Jimi Hendrix.
You met Hendrix?
Yeah.
Right after this story, we're going to get a quick break, and then we're going to talk to Ray Luzier. He's now on hold. But tell that story. I didn't know you met Hendrix.
He posted a picture one time.
Yeah, it was.
You have a photo with Hendrix?
Yes.
Yeah.
How old are you?
My friend and I, I think
12,
I was
13?
No, I think I was 16 or 17 or something, maybe 16.
Little skinny George.
15, I can't remember. But my friend and I, we had our little band together, and we would always go hang out at the music store. And he was playing the Forum, I believe. So he had came into the store for some reason, and I got to meet him. I didn't realize the profoundness of that until later years. I mean, I did to a certain extent, but not like I do now.
But you got a photo of it.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, now everybody has a photo of everything. But
it was
then,
taken with one of those little 110 cameras with the flash cube on it and everything.
Yeah. Go to his Instagram. It's there.
Wow. Yeah, I posted it on
I think we posted it on the KXM, too, once.
Yeah, yeah.
You never met Hendrix, did you, Doug?
No.
Because you're older than George. So
Doug is?
Yeah, he was 7 years older.
Got an even better photo.
I wish. Well, we looked a lot alike, and we're both left-handed, and I used to wear a headband, and I had an afro just like he did. And
you're the bass-playing version of Hendrix.
Oh, yeah. Well, people used to look at us and go, dude, you look just like him. I used to tell people he was, like, related to me back in the day.
Yeah.
I just thought it was cool.
All right. Well, so
I used to pretend I was Superman.
Ray's on hold.
Superboy.
We now go to the phone and welcome in the third.
Oh, my God.
And he now joins us, and we were just talking during the break. They're not together all that often, even for interviews. So we have reunited and have all three members of KXM with Ray Luzier now joining us on the phone. What's going
Finally,
on, brother?
The most important member of the band is on the phone now.
Well, that has been established, yes. And that was established before you even were listening, yeah. Ray. They all said that.
That's true, except for exactly the opposite.
No, we really said it.
There's a reason you're not here. Sirius XM actually requested you not be here.
This is what I live with. When we are together, the two just go at it all day long.
Well, he doesn't understand, dude. He's not a musician. He's a drummer.
Ray texted us and said, hey, George, how's Lunch Mom doing?
Lunch. My favorite man, Lunch
Mom. I really hurt my feelings. Yeah, I feel terrible.
Ray, where are you, man? Are you out with Korn?
I am not. I just got back from England, Manchester. I did a drum.
He's going to start
down there.
Eddie,
you know I'm a drum geek, Eddie, and I do all the drum stuff. And so I did this drum festival with like 20 amazing, just insane drummers. So I just got back. I'm a little bit jet lagged, but I'm in Nashville now. I'm home.
So they had like 20 really great drummers and you?
Yeah. Yep. All the great
Ray, is this why you signed up? Ray, you're in a really big band in Korn. You're playing all over the world, headlining festivals. Did you really sign up for Lynch? Did you really bring this upon yourself?
You know what I did today?
I felt sorry for him.
I was picking up dog shit in my backyard.
I felt sorry for him. He's an aging rock star, and I said, I'm going to give him a chance.
Ex-rock star, hello.
We have covered the age thing. It's funny, Ray, because you're hitting on all the things we covered. It's almost like you were listening. The aging thing and everything else, yeah.
He's the baby of the band. He's so cute.
These guys were saying you're the arbiter of what KXM sounds like. In other words, you're the one that really cracks the whip and comes up with stuff. And I found it really interesting earlier when they were saying that if they come in with ideas in advance, you're the one that says that's not allowed.
No, if George comes in, I never come up with ideas. That's the whole point. That was my idea. No, nobody comes in with
At least I have some ideas.
Yeah. All the good songs are mine. That was the big rule. I'm sure they told you, but if George said, "Hey, I've been working on this thing," we're like, "Well, it's gone then. Why don't you lie and say you weren't working on it so we can, because that's the whole thing with KXM, write one song a day and move on to the next."
So they were saying earlier now, three studio records that it feels like a live show maybe in the works or some live shows coming up. Do we have a window?
We finally have a window. Korn pushed our November tour back to the end of January now. So there's a darn good chance of it now, and we might do a little small run in December, and we're trying to work out logistics and routing and see if it's all feasible. But this is the closest we've ever got since, what, George and Doug, 13, 14, when we started this band?
Yeah.
When we were 13.
I go, yeah.
Well, if you're going to do December, you'd have to probably get ready to start announcing now. We're late September.
We better hurry up and learn the songs.
I'm on the Hendrix Experience tour for the next 3 weeks, starting Monday. Yeah.
Are you doing it again?
Yeah, with Satriani and
Kenny. Oh, I saw you do that in New Jersey. It was badass, man.
How many times have you done
that? Well, guess what? You better be practicing. Just a second.
Can I get on?
But that's killer. That band that Doug did on the Experience Hendrix is Doug, Kenny Aronoff, and Joe Satriani,
uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
My God, that was killer. I saw that in New Jersey on this run. I forgot there's another leg coming up. Well, there goes the KXM dates, Ray. Thanks. You go back to Korn.
No, the month after that, then I have off, so we can do the December thing. But we got to rehearse.
Yeah,
we've never played songs to get as a song.
You guys have never, you would have never have rehearsed for a live show because there's never one book.
Right, we're not going to play these songs. We're just going to make up shit. So you know how we write our records?
Yeah,
that's what we're going to do live. We're going to improvise our live show
and then cut and paste them and let people hear what's happening.
Well, the audience is going to participate in the process.
I mean, I've learned the songs. The only songs I know by us is the videos we've done, because you figure them out by the time you're done with the video. You can play it and sing it.
Wow, that's crazy.
So we just need to do a lot of videos.
And we got to do Scatterbrain, and I got there, and they said, okay, you got to lip sync, and I'm thinking, I've never played this riff and sung it, and it took a couple times to link up. Scatterbrain's a hard song to sing and play.
These are not easy songs.
No.
I just
we never thought we were going to tour, right, Ray?
Yeah. No.
Go ahead, Ray.
Go ahead, Ray.
we were pretty much a studio band from the get-go, but then obviously we wanted to play live. But I just did Stars, which is the first song off of our first record, the other day in Manchester to, you know, Doug and George were there on the laptop. But, you know, I did the minus drums thing where I just played, and I did actually sound check with Scatterbrain, and I was like, I'm not going to do this today because it's a barn burner, man. I wasn't ready to do it, so, but I was planning on it, but yeah.
Since Doug and I are older, is there any way we could do the tour like that?
What's that? Oh, yeah, sure. I'll just play to your...
Just cardboard your cutouts on, and we could be on the iPod.
I know a guy who can make a
hologram. You know where to send the check, right? You got my address.
Hey, they did the whole, you know, Tupac thing with holograms and Dio. Why not, right?
Hello.
Yeah.
It's doable. I know a guy. His name is Jeff. I know a guy. All right. Well, Ray,
doing,
what's
Eddie?
Coming up with you? I'm good, man. Before I go, because I'm going to run out of time here, anything you want to hit or mention? We covered KXM pretty good before you got on, but you got Korn stuff coming up, the record, the new record,
yeah,
all that sort of stuff. Anything you want to mention?
We just got off a great tour with Alice in Chains. It was awesome. Thanks for everyone out there that came out to it. Definitely a lot of stuff in 2020. We just booked Rock and Ring, Rock and Park, all those festivals in Europe. And super proud of the Nothing, that record. Everyone, please go buy it. Don't download it for free. And, yeah, that's about it. Look, seriously, all the KXM fans out there, look for dates because it's looking more and more promising. We're really going to try to do it this time. I know a bunch of people have been hitting us up. So please keep on KXM Official on Instagram and the Rat Pack Records site to check it all out.
Yeah, I mentioned to these guys, and I've said it a lot of times to all of you guys, hearing this music and the way you record it and do it, it just screams to be heard live. It really does. So I'm really excited to see a live show, and I hope it absolutely comes off. And congrats on all the stuff with Korn. I had Jonathan and Head on my show not too long ago for the record while you guys were out with Alice in Chains. I know that's doing great as well. So anyway, man, travel safe, and hopefully I'll see you soon. Okay, Ray?
I appreciate it, man. Thanks, everyone.
Sure.
See you, Ray. See you at rehearsal.
See you, man.
Better start shedding.
Love you, Ray. Love you, Ray.
Love you.
See you, man. There he goes. Ray Luzier, everybody. Checking in for a few. Little cameo there. There's your KXM reunion.
He does very good interview, doesn't he?
He does.
By the way, I just saw that, speaking of Rat Pack Records and Joe and who does your records, and I love what he does because he puts a lot into putting out physical product. There's always like a t-shirt, and I love all that stuff. Picks and buttons and stickers, and it's never just these days you don't even get anybody to send you anything, let alone here's a file, which half the time I just delete. But I saw in the rundown for the new KXM record that they did it on cassette.
Yeah, I have mine.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I've been talking about that a little bit on the
cassette player.
That's becoming a thing again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think people actually play them. I think they just kind of keep them as a...
My Hendrix tribute record is out on cassette, too.
So you have your own KXM record on cassette?
Yes.
So the tape that's in it is actually the record? It's not just a dummy thing?
I haven't opened it yet, but I have pulled out my cassette player.
No, it's functional.
And the music on it is actually your record.
The cassettes never sounded good, so...
Oh, they sounded great.
You thought so?
Yeah, because it's
analog. It was tape.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, wow, I had a guy on this show a couple years ago who did. He did a documentary about cassettes.
Ooh.
Called Cassette.
It's I'd just like
called
to see Cassette. That.
Should get it. I got it on iTunes. It was a 99-cent download or whatever, and it talked about the importance. People forget how important cassettes were because it was the first time we were able to
portably record
music and record our own stuff. And it talked the whole story of cassettes, even to the point of how they impacted having answering machines, which took cassettes, that you couldn't have had that. So it was really fascinating. But the biggest reveal was that the guy told me, this was 2 years ago, that 170,000 cassettes were sold in that year, 2 years ago. New cassettes.
Wow.
So it's not as nuts as it sounds. What's old is new again, which is good for us since we all just talked about how old we all are.
Vinyls exceeded CD sales in the last couple of
years. And I threw away like 1,000 CDs.
No.
I mean, cassettes.
Don't throw away your CDs because they will come back.
I believe that.
And there's a catch on that, though, George, because I'm a big CD guy, right? Here's the catch on that. An album cost $40. A CD cost $10. Yeah. So if they're doing a calculation based on revenue,
it's not units.
It's 4-1.
It's money.
Yeah, money-wise, it's 4-1.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, the CD is still hanging in there. Tool just sold 100,000 copies of their new album on CD.
Really?
I bought one. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
No, you didn't. Because I don't have one.
No,
I can't
no,
find
no,
it.
No, iTunes. I bought iTunes.
Oh, okay. Because you can't find the
it's
CD.
It's like an invisible CD.
Oh, yeah. That's a good way to look at it. Well, great to visit with those guys. Ray Luzier, Doug Pinnick, and, of course, George Lynch on the podcast this week. And great to have those guys on and spend some time chatting with them and talking about KXM, which they mentioned in the interview on and off the air at the time we did that they were hoping to do live shows with KXM in December. Well, we're in December and they ain't doing any live shows. So the streak of not ever playing live continues for that band, which just screams to be heard live, in my opinion. We'll see if that happens somewhere down the line. But those guys are also very honest, and I always applaud that transparency, that they've also got to get offers of money that makes sense for them to do it, which, you know, is not an easy thing to do. So we'll see what the future holds. All right, thanks to George, thanks to Doug, and thanks to Ray on the phone. Thank you to you guys for listening. Again, follow on Twitter, at Eddie Trunk, Instagram, fan page on Facebook. EddieTrunk.com is the official online home. If you're in LA, I hope to see you Thursday, December 12th at the Rainbow for the next LA Invasion, this one with a holiday party theme, totally free. Join me 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific on the patio at the Bow. Didn't even get a chance to talk earlier in the open about the whole Motley Crue reunion, Def Leppard, Poison thing. I mean, I touched on the Crue reunion a couple weeks ago, so go back and listen to that podcast if you want to get my thoughts on the undoing of the farewell tour. But now, of course, the tour being official with Poison and Leppard, it'll be interesting to watch and see how that does with those three bands getting together and going out. We'll keep you posted on that as well. Be sure to listen to me every day on Sirius XM Channel 106, volume 2 to 4 and 10 to midnight Eastern, or on demand on the app. Katie Irizarry produces this podcast. I will see you guys next Thursday for a new episode.